Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain.
Good shooting, John. Once again, you're right on target.
Thank you, Stan. I got that laser-guided thing fixed here, so now I can zero in on the Beagle, the HMS Beagle, that is, and send it to the bottom. I am John Kurlinski.
I am Stan Hudson. We want to welcome you to another episode of
Sink the Beagle, where we take lighthearted looks at the serious issues of evolution and creation. Lighthearted because, hey, folks, you got to laugh sometime,
yes.
And it's fun to laugh. Hopefully with people instead of just at them, but sometimes it's okay to laugh at ourselves anyway. So,
and I still hold to this truth, John. Christians are the only ones in the world that can really laugh.
That can really, truly laugh.
Really have belly laughs.
And some are really funny to look at. Anyway.
Okay.
All right. Today, yes. What are we talking about today, Stan?
Well, talking is a good way to start us off because we're talking about words today.
Words. Ooh.
Yes, we are talking about words.
We use them all the time.
And the way people say things and the way people express views about creation and evolution. Actually, we're talking today about some really good quotes from those who are on the other side of the scientific aisle, the evolutionists, when they talk about what we consider to be still probably the biggest problem that evolutionists have in terms of proof. And
facts.
to put it in that way. Yes, the fossil record. Okay.
Yeah. Well, really what we're saying is that evolutionists in moments of candor and honesty,
yes,
say some things sometimes
things.
They probably wish that weren't published or recorded because really what they say challenges and refutes often the very evidence they claim to hold as true,
yes,
proving and supporting the theory of evolution.
And become
today,
fodder for Sink the Beagle episodes.
So, so today we're going to take some of the more prominent ones and just trace a few of the comments they make about the fossil record and some issues. And one of the ones I'd like to begin with, Stan,
yes,
is made by the famous one who we quoted last week, the Stephen Jay Gould from Harvard.
Yes.
Yeah, he is talking about the beginnings of life in the geologic column.
Okay.
And that beginning of life is in the Cambrian layer, and it's called the Cambrian explosion.
The Big Bang.
The Big Bang of biology.
Biology, yes.
Yes, biological Big Bang.
Yes.
And notice what normally you'd expect. Mm. Now, Darwin, we have to pause for a second and set it in a context.
Darwin
said, you know, that thought that life began and the simple became more complex, mm-hmm, gradually over time.
And let me quote him. He said specifically, if it could ever be proven that life did not evolve in tiny little steps.
Incremental
baby steps into the life forms we have today, then my theory would absolutely break down, he said.
And, well, we have a breakdown, according to Stephen Jewell.
Stephen
Notice what he
Jay
says.
Gould says.
He says this. The Cambrian explosion, that means, occurred in a geological moment.
Moment. Oops.
Ooh.
Big
and we have reason to think that all major anatomical designs may have made their evolutionary appearance at that time.
Hmm.
Not only the phylum Chordata itself, but also its major divisions arose with the Cambrian explosion.
Okay.
In other words, instead of finding one simple cell and then two different types of life,
right,
and then five,
yeah,
we got a bazillion, so to speak.
Bazillion. They all start, I think it was 32 out of 35 phylum. The great orders of living things are found at the very bottom of the fossil record in the Cambrian explosion.
Extreme complexity.
Today, levels of complexity equal to animal life today.
And now notice what he goes on to say. Contrary to Darwin's expectation,
yes,
which you referenced earlier there, Stan,
yep,
that new data would reveal gradualistic continuity with slow and steady expansions,
right,
all major discoveries of the past century have only heightened the massiveness of the geological abruptness of the formative event.
I like
the biological big boom, and all of a sudden it's not like, ooh, we found a simple cell. It's like, hey, we found trilobites with all kinds of different types of eyesight, and we found,
yes,
all kinds of other kinds of,
right,
creatures and plants and animals.
Totally
and
complex, totally developed, no half simple cell to have.
No transitionary,
yes, no transitional
prior,
form. And
nothing.
Of all the different kinds suddenly appearing in the Cambrian explosion, it's a lamentable time, to paraphrase something he said last week on Sink the Beagle. lamentable, causes distress among evolutionists that they
because
haven't been able to solve this.
It argues against the very theory itself.
Yes.
But we don't stop with him.
No.
We have others that have said things.
By their words. Okay, how about Preston Cloud and Martin Glasner when they said, ever since Darwin, the geologically abrupt appearance and rapid diversification of early animal life have fascinated biologists and students of Earth history alike.
Actually, they should have said it scared the bejeebies out of them, but go ahead.
Well, fascinated, yes. This interval, plus early in Cambrian, was a time during which Metazoan life diversified into nearly all of the major phyla and most of the invertebrate classes and orders subsequently known. In other words, it all happened right there at the beginning.
We can't find the gradualism.
Yeah, there's no gradual. It's all abrupt and rapid, using their words.
Shazam! And Shazam. It was there, quoting Gomer Pyle.
Big bang.
Here's one of our favorite ones. We like to lampoon a little bit just because of his brashness, but Richard Dawkins.
I love Richard Dawkins of Cambridge.
He said it this way. And we find many of them already in an advanced state of evolution.
The fossils, yep.
The very first time they appear, it is as though they were just planted there without any evolutionary history. Needless to say, this appearance of sudden planting has delighted creationists.
Yes,
and
it
yes,
has.
It has. I like that.
I'm delighted.
He wasn't. The only alternative explanation of the sudden appearance of many complex animals in the Cambrian era is divine creation.
And that's from his famous book, The Blind Watchmaker, that, of course, supports evolution and takes a shot at Bible believers, of course. Mm-hmm. But he said, you know what? The evidence does kind of support what they say. But let's move on quickly to other thoughts.
Yeah, there we go.
Uh-huh.
So we've been, person mm-hmm. after person. What they're really saying, Stan, is that when it comes to at least the beginning of life in the evolutionary column, it argues against evolutionary theory.
Yep, it does.
In the geologic column, the beginnings of life do not argue for Darwin's theory or the neo-Darwinian synthesis theory, which says with understanding of greater biology.
Right, and understand what they're saying, John, because the fossil record has forever been the place where they point to and say, look, evolution has taken place. And what they're saying is, look, we're looking at it and we're finding a hard time putting it together out of the evidence in the fossil record. So they're saying our best evidence is actually not as strong as we've always tried to make you believe.
Do you have any other quotes in other areas?
Well, yeah.
Let's go up the column a little bit.
Up the column a bit. Okay, we do have a list. Yes. How about Carl Dunbar of Yale said, although the comparative study of living animals and plants may give very convincing circumstantial evidence, fossils provide the only historical documentary evidence that life has evolved from simpler to more and more complex forms. So that's the only place that they're looking for evidence of evolution. It's got to be in the fossil record, and we just read those.
But there's an interesting thing that guy is saying, though, Stan.
Yes, what?
He is saying that the place to look for evolutionary life is in the fossils, not in current biological mutations.
Yes.
What's happening is that science today is trying to find an example of microevolutionary products
to macro,
and extrapolating in the past, saying that, see, here it's going on today, so it must have happened that way in the past, when the fossil record says there's nothing to prove that in the past. Microevolutionary, the finch evolved into another finch, not into a duck-billed platypus.
Well, here's an interesting one. It says, this is S.M. Stanley and John from Johns Hopkins. It says, it is doubtful whether in the absence of fossils, the idea of evolution would represent anything more than an outrageous hypothesis. So they do try to get their evidence from the fossil record.
You know, it's
because, you just don't see it otherwise.
Now, we talked about the failure of the eohippus and the horse, the horse sequences, you know, in the stories that they try to tell with those displays. There's an interesting person named Derek Anger of a college in Wales over in the British Isles. He says this, it must be significant that nearly all the evolutionary stories I learned as a student have now been debunked. Similarly, my own experience of more than 20 years looking for evolutionary lineages, that's those transformations, among the Mesozoic Brachiopoda has proven them equally elusive.
Elusive. How about this one again from Stephen Jay Gould? The evolutionary trees that adorn our textbooks have data only at the tips and nodes of their branches. The rest is inference, however reasonable, not the evidence of the fossils.
Oh, I love that scientific term, inference.
Inference.
It's provable inference. We infer.
What he was saying is the fossil record does not show the major changes from one type of animal to another distinctly different type of animal. The branches of the trees, they only have little evidences at the tips of the trees, and from that they try to build a tree. But he's saying it's all inference, and the evidence itself does not support it. And understand, John, this is not something that has not been searched for diligently.
150 years.
Ever since Darwin, the money, the effort has all been there to try to support Darwin's theory. And pushed. And
here's a true confession, Sam.
Okay, good.
I want to give a true confession because Stephen Jay Gould,
because
they couldn't find transitionary forms, along with Niles Eldridge from Columbia University and the American Museum of Natural History, came up with punctuated equilibrium, hiccups.
Punk-ec.
Because they think that evolution happens real rapidly in very small environments. Because it is
huge
not.
Hiccups. Uh-huh.
Huge hiccups because it cannot be proven in nature in the fossil record. He said this, "We paleontologists have said that the history of life supports that interpretation of gradual adaptive change, all the while knowing that it does not." There is a blunt confession saying, we've duped you, and we knew we were duping you, but it still puts butter on my table and bread in my gullet,
Yeah, there is a great desire. But, it's kind of funny this is an interesting one from Colin Patterson. He said this, well, it seems to me, talking about punk-ec, this idea of a hiccup, to see that they have accepted that the fact that the fossil record doesn't give them the support they would value, so they searched around to find another model and found one. When you haven't got the evidence, you make up a story that will fit the lack of evidence.
Ouch. You know, Sam, we have a torpedo text from the very words of the Creator himself, Jesus, who is claimed to be in Matthew. Mm-hmm. Words are important. And here we've just quoted today, we've spent no time quoting creationists. We're quoting only evolutionists who are saying things that cause us to doubt what they say is believable. But here's what Jesus says.
Well, this is in Matthew 12, and it starts in verse 36, 37. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned.
So here we have these scientists proclaiming no God, no creator, just a material existence, and yet acknowledging all along that the very evidence they want to hold up is not true.
That's moments of candor.
Ouch, ouch. I would hate to be them in a judgment scene.
In other words, if God were to say to these scientists, the evidence was not there, and yet you continued, even when you knew that. And that makes me think of Jesus saying to some of the religious people of his day, the leaders, said, you saw the truth, you heard the truth, but even when you saw it, you didn't permit people to come in. You hindered it, even when you saw it to be, to be something different than you'd wanted. You still hindered it, and these people who see the evidence as lacking, nevertheless, still support the idea of evolution.
And that's why we always want to caution: by your words, the words you use are very important. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you say.
Someone may be listening.
Someone may be listening. Tune in again to another Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time to another episode of Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friend. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.